Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
We're looking today at Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine. Did you feel that this morning when you tried to climb out of a warm bed? Have you heard the five stages of waking up and getting out of bed? Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. I'm glad that you accepted the challenge and you're here today in the house of the Lord. And the word of the Lord to us today, as his people, is arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This message of light comes in the midst of darkness. We find here that darkness covered the earth and a deep darkness covered the people. It sounds a lot like the days in which we're living. The previous chapter, chapter 59 here in the prophet Isaiah, deals with the darkness of sin. And when you read down through chapter 59, you find that God's people had fallen away from him. And there was darkness manifested in violence, a lack of truth and justice, and all manner of sin and evil. You read in verse 8 of chapter 59 that they made themselves crooked paths, and in those paths they did not know peace. In the very next verse, verse 9, they looked for light, but they could only see darkness. And then verse 13 gives us the reason for the darkness. They sinned against God and departed from him. Whenever a people sins against God and departs from him, there's going to be darkness. That's the bad news, but there is good news. That's not the end of the story. Because when God comes on the scene, there is a movement from darkness to light. Can you praise the Lord for that today? When God shows up, there's light. In verses 19 and 20 of chapter 59, his glory is like the rising of the sun. Remember that. His glory is like the rising of the sun. The Spirit raises up a standard. The Redeemer comes. This, my friends, is the story of the Bible and the story of life on earth. The story of the Bible and the story of life on earth is the story of the movement. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. The movement from darkness to light. You could sum it up in three words. Light dispels darkness. We see the movement from darkness to light in at least three ways. Number one, we see the movement from darkness to light in creation. At the very beginning of creation, there was darkness and chaos. In the opening words of the Bible, at the very beginning of God's work of creation, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In theology, we call this God's divine fiat, meaning that God spoke. That's all he had to do. All God had to do was speak. He speaks and it is. And God said, let there be light. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me. I have a hard time even wrapping my brain around this, that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. How did they even ever figure that out? Think about that. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. But you see, God's the one who created the light. And God sent the light and it pierced through the darkness. The message of the Bible in creation is that light brings order. Light brings beauty. Light dispels darkness. Light wins over darkness. John tells us in 1 John that the darkness does not overcome the light. The light overcomes the darkness. And you go into a dark room at any time and you can't see a thing, it's dark. You flip the light switch and instantly there is light. And so we see the movement from darkness to light in creation. Secondly, we see the movement from darkness to light in salvation. I want you to look at this beautiful verse of transformation. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. John picks up this creation theme that I was talking about in the gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then John proclaims to us and to the world the glorious news. The light shines in the darkness. Now, before I get into the last point that I want to spend some time in this morning, I want you to look at the movement from darkness to light in Acts 26, verse 18. These are the words of Jesus to the Apostle Paul concerning his mission, which ought to be our mission as well. Look at it. Here's the mission. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, I said all of this morning up to this point to get to the point that I want to emphasize as we get started off here in the month of November. For 2 months, we've been talking about loving God and loving people and what that might look like. But there's a third part that completes the picture. When you love God and you love people, the end result ought to be that it begins to change you. And then it begins to change the world around you. And so in this point that I want to get to this morning, I want you to see the larger picture. We see the movement from darkness to light in the unfolding of history. And I specifically want to call this redemptive history because I see all of history from the very beginning to when it ends. I see it all as the unfolding of God's redemptive plan. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the first proclamation of the gospel, where God promised the seed. He promised that the Messiah would come. And then you have the establishment of Israel and the prophets. Then you have the coming of Christ. Then you have the church being born on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. It all is a movement of light in the direction that God would have it to go in until it reaches the ultimate culmination of the kingdom of God permanently established in heaven when we're with Him there. It's a movement from darkness to light. There's an illustration I like to use, and I don't know, maybe I used it here before. I can't remember. I have a hard time remembering what happened 3 days ago. But anyway, you don't have to say amen to that. But I like to use this illustration that, you know, if I were an artist, which I am not, I guarantee you that. But if I were an artist and I wanted to just capture in one painting a summary of history, here's what I would do. If I were an artist, I would take my easel and I'd put my canvas on that, and I would paint the entire canvas as dark as I possibly could to represent the darkness of sin and the darkness of human life apart from God. But then, against that backdrop, here's what I would do. I would paint the most brilliant, glorious beam of light coming down into the darkness. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ coming into the world. And we read, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Aren't you glad for that today? Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you light. It's a great verse for Baptists, isn't it? Okay, just forget I said that. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. There shall be no night there. God's going to wipe away every tear. No more pain, sorrow, crying. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. See, what I want you to see, the reason I gave you all these verses here, I want you to see the unfolding of God's redemptive plan. God is in control of everything, isn't He? He's in control of the movement of all of this. And it's good news for us. It's good news for the world because you have the light of Jesus, the light of the church, the light of heaven. Redemptive history is like the rising of the sun in the morning and the setting of the sun. At the very beginning, the pre-dawn light, you have the prophets coming forward and they're proclaiming that the Messiah is going to come. Then when the sun rises, you have the full manifestation of the light in the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And then on the day of Pentecost, the light comes where people are filled with the Spirit and the light goes forth. And then we're going to eventually have the final setting, the final victory of the light when we're gathered together and God's eternal kingdom, His kingdom will be established forever. It will only be light. The movement of history Please get a hold of the thought that God put in my heart this week. The movement of history is not more darkness. It's more light. We are moving from darkness to light. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. Look at it. This is I remembered this verse this week. It just came to my mind. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full day, light of day. Now look at this passage that we began with again. Look here. Arise, shine, for your light has come. That's good news, isn't it? And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, your translation may have the word nations. The nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, follow me here. This message is not nearly as long as the last two, so you can be encouraged there. Here's what I want you to see this morning. The people of Israel's time, of Isaiah's time, they could only see just one little sliver, one little slice of history. And it looked, everything was dark. It was all dark. They had spiritual nearsightedness. All they could see was darkness. And the same can happen to us if we're just looking at it in that way. But then comes the prophetic call to a larger vision. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Nations and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Today, look, I don't need to tell you there's darkness everywhere. Darkness has covered this earth. There's great evil. It may even get worse. But the darker it gets, here's the good news. The darker it gets, the brighter the light is going to shine until it conquers the darkness. That's our hope right there. God is calling us to be people of light, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If there was ever a time for us to be serious about God and being an example for those out there who are lost, it's now. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket." No. They put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. During World War II, hundreds of GIs were gathered to see an opera performance. And while they were in the opera house, they heard the air raid sirens going off, and then soon it was completely dark in the opera house. And some of the soldiers, many of them were equipped with clip-on flashlights, and so one took out a flashlight, shined it at the stage, and then another, and then another, and pretty soon there were dozens of them shining their flashlights to the stage, lighting up, illuminating the stage. Folks, just think what would happen. What would happen in this world if every true born-again Christian would shine the light? Arise is a call to wake up. And I believe that God's prophetic word to us today, what God is speaking to us today, is for the church to wake up, get up, stand on your feet, lift up your head. The prodigal son said, "I will arise and go to my Father. It's a response. Arise is a response word. Shine is a word of action. Shine is the activity of the response. The sun rises. It rises and takes its place in the sky. And then it does something. It shines. It actively shines. And it gives light and warmth to the world. And so here's my message today. As I come to a close, before we enter into this sacrament of Holy Communion, my message today is this. When we receive the light, it changes us. When we share the light, it changes the world around us. And it's God's light. It's not something that we produce. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Wind, fire, oil, light, they are all symbols and types of the Holy Spirit. You remember the parable that Jesus told about the bridesmaids? Five of them had their lamps filled with oil. They were burning. They were giving light. That's where the light comes. When we spend time with Him and He fills us, and that light is shining through us. And so, when you invest in relationships in this church, if you claim this is your church, place where God has placed you, when you invest in relationships and you get involved, you try to get involved in some type part of the church, some ministry in the church, you're shining your light. You're shining your light here. But that's the easy part. That's what we should be doing. But then we should be taking that light out into the darkness. And when we do that, when we share that light with the world around us, that's when things will change. Yes, darkness has covered the earth and we feel it. But I'm going to be encouraged today because there's light. And I'm encouraged because God is in control. He's the one who's unfolding history. He's the one who's going to take care of all this.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.